Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Taz Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 85 for July 31st, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, Trending Mobile Technology, and Tunes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's Old Movies, DOTNet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We got... Was it 69 weeks in a row, heavy set? You there, buddy?
68.5 weeks.
Yeah. So on the line, we've got heavy set. He is in the middle of something quick, so he's going to get back to us. We also have Kev Botrek.
I don't hear no music.
I'll explain that in a second. And we have D-Ren.
Yo, what kind of music? I haven't been on in a while.
Well, just the intro music, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
For... users of an audio mixer and Skype. Apparently, the new version of Skype does not like my mixer. I have a Yamaha Audiogram 6, and I was actually holding off on updating Skype because 6.10 broke the compatibility of my mixer, lowered the volume just a tad, and it happens to mute my mic for whatever reason, just does not like me. So, like I said, I've been holding off, and then Skype now tells me, your version's too old, you've got upgrades, so I figure, okay, well, it's been, what, 6 months? At this point, should be okay. And, of course, it isn't. So, yeah, I got to work on it. Been updating some drivers and whatnot, but does not seem to be working for now. If anybody else on the podcast universe has been experiencing this, please let me know how to fix it. If not, I don't know, might have to get a new mixer. We'll see. Anyways, let's get into the first news story of the week. We got a lot of Comic-Con news coming out of San Diego. This is usually where the big movie companies debut trailers for new movies, put spoilers, have people show up that shouldn't be showing up. And let's start with the Batman news, actually. There was a panel with Zack Snyder bringing out, Batfleck, Ben Affleck, and Henry Cavill. They did not answer questions. They talked about the movie briefly, and they actually showed some very early footage. This comes from Cineblend, and this is what they mention. The Batman's on a rooftop. He takes the cover off bat signal, turns the light on. Light shines in the sky, rain pouring down. Lightning then reveals Superman floating in the sky with eyes glowing red. Batman stares at him. Batman's suit is more like armor with glowing white eyes. Sounds pretty cool. And they also showed a still of Wonder Woman, so... I mean, you know, not a lot at first, but I think they just put a little bit out to kind of keep the buzz going. Start with Kebo Trek. Let's get your thoughts, man.
My first thought is I wish we can actually see it rather than just reading it. I was looking for the clip from Comic-Con, and I wasn't able to find it, so I was a little disappointed with that.
Apparently it got taken down really quick.
But I think if I did see it, I think it would be super effective. Because just that kind of mark-out moment, first, you know, a bit when he takes off the cover, and then especially when you see Superman, like, I think that would be such a mark-out moment, and you just go like, wow, this could really be good. And, you know, I do hope people give it a chance, because I think it's going to be a really good movie. And concerning Wonder Woman, I know some people were complaining she was a bit too, like, Gladiator-esque, like, not enough color in that. But I think they're going for more of a darker rendition, so I think it works with the tone they're going with the Superman versus Batman movie. So I'm excited. The little teasers make me more excited to see it, and I can't wait till we can actually see some footage.
Do you guys think it's a mistake to not release the footage online right away? I mean, like, what are they afraid of, D-Ren?
Maybe they're afraid of backlash, but I think this is a good way because it's creating buzz for the people. I mean, the people who saw it at Comic-Con and are talking about it, this is going to get out to people, and it's going to, these people are going to, like, drive and they want to see it. They want to see this footage, but they can't. I think it's a smart ploy. I kind of found it weird that they didn't answer any questions. You'd think that they would have kind of like a Q&A session at the panels, but I mean, from what I read, it looked pretty cool. I think Wonder Woman, Kembo Check said she didn't look Amazon enough or something.
No,
it looks a bit like Xena.
No, I said she
but she's supposed to be an Amazon.
No, I said she looks Gladiator-esque.
Gladiator-esque.
Like kind of like from the movie
Because
Gladiator.
Of the costume?
Yeah, but I'm okay with that. Like, I don't need to see her in bright blue and red colors, you know?
I think it's pretty cool, and I know people are... I'm kind of a fan of also the suit we saw from Ben Affleck, so yeah, I think this is going to be... it's creating buzz, and you know, we're going to get three characters in the next installment of... I think it's officially a Superman film, so yeah, I think it's going to be amazing.
Another thing I guess I wanted to mention is I know, like, one of the big things about casting Ben Affleck was that he was going to be an older Batman. And I guess that the scene where he kind of takes the draping or whatever off the light, I think that's going to show, like, he's probably not been Batman for a while. Maybe he's kind of either been in the shadows or, quote-unquote, retired. So, and I'm really curious to see what they do with that and how Ben Affleck plays him, because I know a lot of people were, you know, obviously still questioning it, but I think he's going to play Batman in a really good way, and we're going to see, like, a very tired Batman, and I think that, you know, the cover, uncovering the bat signal is one hint at that.
But how is he supposed to fight Superman if he's, like, semi-retired getting his old age pension?
Isn't it going to be something with Kryptonite? Because that's the only logical way he can fight him, right?
Makes sense, yeah.
He can't beat him. But what I think is important with the DC franchise, that they can't compete with Marvel. I mean, they can compete with Marvel, but they can't, like, copy Marvel. Marvel's more kind of, like, bright colors and, you know, vibrant and more lighthearted. DC has to stay in the, like, the darker tones and the, you know, the kind of like what they're doing with the Arrow TV show and everything like that. Just like dark and serious tones. You can't make it as lighthearted as Marvel, or I feel like they won't compete with it.
Got some more news. This is on the Marvel side. Apparently Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is coming out in 2017. Kembo Trek, we haven't even seen the first night, opening night for this, and they're already making a second movie. Don't you think it's a bit risky?
From what I've been hearing, like, the tracking and, you know, the reviews and that, everything has been pretty solid. And with Marvel, they like to plan ahead, you know, one, to almost, like, threaten other studios, I guess, to, like, they're taking those dates. And, you know, yeah, we haven't seen the first one yet, but everyone, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be a hit. I think everyone's assuming it's going to be a hit. Now, obviously, it's not going to be, you know, an Avengers kind of hit, but... from everything I've been hearing, it's going to do solid numbers, so why not pencil in that sequel? And even just penciling in the sequel, I guess, would make fans more excited because they know they're going to see a continuing of this story. I know personally I'm super excited to see this movie.
D-Ren, do you agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just penciling a date. Dates always shift around. Like, for example, there's supposed to be a... the Channing Tatum Mila Kunis sci-fi supposed to come out this summer. They moved it back to February because they didn't want to have two failures with that studio within the same quarter. So these dates are just like placeholders for now. But it's going to do big business. I think it'll do better than Thor. I know that's kind of a big statement to make, but, you know, just the whole, it's kind of like a cool sci-fi premise and comic book type story, which I don't read comics at all. So I'm just super happy about the, you know, from what I've seen from the trailer and having that sci-fi element. And also in 2017, Marvel, I believe, has put a date for Doctor Strange, which is kind of a first movie for the, I guess it's, what do they call it? Phase 3. Yes. So that should be pretty exciting. That's their other movie in 2017.
Did you guys hear about the rumor who was going to play Doctor Strange?
Yeah. It's Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Interesting. I don't know too much about the character except that he's like a kind of like a supernatural mystifier type thing. So I can kind of see that. So I think that's a that would be a great casting coup for the character. That's
yeah.
The first player.
As long as he doesn't have to rap, I think he's good. All right, going to end this week's news with an AMA held by one of my favorite actors, actually, Jeff Bridges, and a couple of tidbits from the AMA. Regarding True Grit, he said he stuck to the book and not to the John Wayne performance. First off, I didn't even know that True Grit was done by John Wayne. Shows my history. And for him to take that character out of the book and just kind of ignore John Wayne's performance, I think is a bit ballsy. But, I mean, if whoever saw the movie, it was a fantastic performance. Second one, he actually watches The Big Lebowski when it comes on TV, which I think is hilarious. Considering he's the star of it, but he's just such a fan of the Coen Brothers movie that he'll actually sit there and watch it on TV. And apparently he's a big channel flipper too, so it's a big thing for him. And I couldn't even imagine like how apparently he gets like hounded about it. It's one of his most iconic roles, and to see you know it have such a weak performance at the box office and have it turn into like this cult classic is just fantastic. Also, apparently Iron Man didn't have a finished script going into production, which I think is nuts, but also not too surprised at the same time. And he also mentions that kind of Downey Jr. saved that film, which I completely agree. It was just an iconic performance by Robert Downey Jr. Closing his AMA, he mentioned that RIPD would have been a lot better if the studio didn't mess up the editing. That I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, not knowing the original footage and cutting it, I'd kind of have to take his word on that. But what do you guys think about this? Jeff Bridges mentioning these points here. We'll start at Kebo Trek.
There's a lot of points to discuss. I guess I will start with R.I.P. Just because I think this might be a case of an actor kind of defending his work when I'm not sure nothing could have saved this movie. But is he talking about like cutting the trailer better? Or
no, he means the actual film.
No, see, at that point, I mean...
But how can you say that not seeing what they cut? Maybe there was a lot of good parts that were removed and actually ruined the film.
You could make that point, but at the same time, a trailer is what sells the movie. And yeah, I guess maybe they could have put the stuff in that would have made it better. Would it have made it good enough to make people want to see? I'm not sure. And this is one of those cases where you're going to kind of just have to take his word. Because what we got was, like, utter crap, so I guess it couldn't have been any worse than what they originally, you know, what they had.
Yeah, Diran, any points you want to discuss there?
Yeah, sure. I guess I'll start with the Kebo Trek called it RIP. It's pretty funny. Yeah, regarding that movie, I just think that people saw the movie. I mean, this is what I think when I saw the trailer was that it was kind of a poor man's Men in Black type theme, even though, you know, yeah, they're dealing with aliens, but they're dead or something like that. So, yeah, that's first of all. And second of all, regarding True Grit, that was just a phenomenal performance. And I have seen the original and a while ago, so I don't remember too much about it, but I remember enjoying John Wayne. I guess, you know, him working with the Coen brothers is a good thing. So hopefully they have more collaborations in the future.
The thing with that is, like, you don't want to just become, like, you know, exactly mimic what the previous actor does. I mean, taking Star Trek as an example, if Chris Pine just did an imitation of Shatner, it would have made the role a joke. So, and especially with an actor like John Wayne, I think it's better to, you know, kind of put your own spin on the performance rather than just mimicking or imitating what someone else did before.
Well, it depends on the characters. I mean, because if you're referencing Star Trek, a lot of those supplementary characters, the extra characters, they all did impersonations. Yeah, Scotty looked like he did an impersonation. Bones looked like he did an impersonation. So,
see, I disagree with that.
Over Scotty?
So,
really?
Scotty was just terrible. It wasn't a matter of...
No, but I mean, that's what he was trying to do, like Bones. Bones was acting like Bones.
More so in the second movie, but in the first, I thought it was a good tribute without kind of emulating him. That's but in the second one, it was over the top.
Yeah. What about Chekhov?
Chekhov was fine.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem.
They were just
spoofing. I'm not saying I'm not saying it's not fine, but I'm saying it was an impersonation of the previous iteration.
I wouldn't call it an impersonation. I thought the second movie was really bad for Bones, and when it became kind of a parody, but I don't think any of them were direct imitations. I think, like, you know, Chris Pine did certain things that were Shatner-esque, but he didn't, you know, imitate Shatner. He brought his own thing to the role. And as much as I didn't like some of the other roles, I don't think any of them were direct imitation or copies or mimics of it.
And Chekhov had more to do in the movie than Walter Koenig did in the series. So I think they kind of expanded his character, even though he wasn't really a main focus he was more of a peripheral focus.
All right, we're derailing a little bit there, so let's get back on track. Thank you for your Star Trek opinions, and let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down. All right, so Kebbo Trek, what happened in this week's box office?
Coming in at first place, admittedly for me quite surprising, is Lucy with almost $44 million. We'll throw this one out to you guys quickly. Are you guys surprised with these numbers?
No, she's a draw. Next.
I'm a little surprised. I thought it would be more it made $41 million or something? Or
It made just under $44
million. Okay, I thought it was going to make around $30 million because it's a Luc Besson type movie, which I'm a big fan of. But I'm a little shocked, but the trailer was very effective. It kind of looked like a thousand times better version of Transcendence. And
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I think the timing is really good with the Scarlett Johansson casting. She is a huge draw right now. And the fact that she was kind of dominating an action role herself, I think it was just genius casting, in my opinion. And the story looked really cool, too, for a big-budget blockbuster, something you want to go to the theater and watch and not, you know, in your house on DVD. So I think just what else was out? You know, Hercules we're going to discuss. But they didn't have a really powerful opposition. So I think the timing with everything, the casting, the release, and the story was perfect.
And speaking of The Rock, Hercules came in second place with $29.8 million. I don't know about you guys, but I was expecting a little higher for this.
What other big-budget movie has he done really well in?
And that's the issue, right? Yeah. And especially, I think this movie is going to have a massive drop-off, especially with Guardians coming out next week.
Internationally, you think it's going to do okay?
No, I don't think we'll see a profit here.
No, it costs about $150 to make?
$100,
I think, before advertising and that. So.
Okay. But the problem with this movie was, like, do you picture a Samoan playing a Greek god?
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah, he's completely wrong for the role.
I'd rather see Kevin Sorbo dust off his old suit and get back in there, but anyway.
Yeah, I love that show. Coming in at third place is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes with $16.7 million, giving it a running total of 172 on a pretty high 170 budget. Coming in at fourth place is The Purge: Anarchy, adding $10.5 million, giving it a total of 52 on a $9 million budget. I think this pretty much means we'll be seeing a Purge 3, probably a Purge 4.
They've got this formula down, and they've actually tripled their budget from last time. I wanted to see this movie myself because the first one, loved the concept, but the execution was absolutely abysmal. And so I'm saying, okay, I'll give him a second shot. And apparently Karp really liked it, so it's on my radar for next week.
Yeah, but Karp's liking is like...
I know.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
I know what you're saying, but in this case, I would agree with him because this is his type of movie. It's a leave-your-mind-at-the-door kind of story.
He likes zombievers.
No, it's not zombievers, dude. Like, it's on a level, I think, where it could be entertaining, given a decent budget and a bit of action, which is what the first one was missing. So that's why I'm leaving myself. I'm keeping optimistic. I can't even speak English. I can't. Jesus. I'm keeping optimistic in this case.
I agree with you. The trailer looks good.
I think I would actually like this better as more of a drama rather than horror slash action?
Disagree. I think a drama would be too slow. And the first one lined it up being a drama, which is what ruined it.
Oh, this needs to say horror, for sure.
Coming in fifth place is Planes, Fire, and Rescue with $9.5 million, giving it a total of $35 on the domestic and only $57 on the foreign total. But it's kept its budget low at $50 million. Coming in at sixth place is Sex Tape with $6 million, giving it a disappointing $27 million. This is a movie that's probably going to make nothing on the foreign market, so we expect a loss there. In seventh place is Transformers Age of Extinction, adding $7 million, which no doubt is a very disappointing $236 million on the domestic market. But you look at the foreign, where it's made $730 million, and I believe it's the highest grossing movie ever in China. So obviously we're going to see more Transformers there. Coming in eighth place, and So It Goes, adding $4.6 million. I think we're all out of the demo for that one. In ninth place is Tammy with another $3.4 million, giving it a total of $78. So obviously, studio's very happy there and definitely shows that Melissa McCarthy has her audience that people are going to go see. It's surprising. I don't get it either. But And rounding out the top 10 is A Most Wanted Man, adding $2.6 million in its first week.
Thank you, Kebbo Trek. Upcoming movies this week, we've got a James Brown biopic called Get On Up, but more importantly, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I come from Earth, a planet of outlaws.
My name is Peter Quill.
There's one other name you might know me by. Star-Lord.
Who?
Well, Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw.
Guys?
Forget it. So here we are. A thief, two thugs, an assassin, and a maniac. But we're not gonna stand by as evil wipes out the galaxy. I guess we're stuck together. Partners.
Are you telling me the fate of 12 billion people is in the hands of these criminals?
Oh, yeah. I look around, you know what I see? Losers. But life's giving us a chance.
To do what?
Something good, something bad, a bit of both. Oh, what the hell, I don't got that long a lifespan anyway. Thing like me, except me.
They call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy. This might not be the best idea.
All right, let's throw it to Kebbo Trek. Get a yay or nay for Guardians of the Galaxy.
No question for me. I've enjoyed pretty much all the comic book movies, and now you're adding sci-fi into it, which is my favorite genre. So this is definitely a must-see for me, and I'll be seeing it opening night.
D-Ren, yay or nay?
Oh, definitely a yay. This potentially, I mean, it's going to be very hard to beat, but it could be my favorite Marvel movie of all time, even past the Avengers, because of the sci-fi.
You haven't even seen it yet.
I said potentially. I don't know. It could be, like, really crap like Iron Man 3, but, I mean, I said potentially. I haven't seen it. You're right.
Here's the thing with that. Do you think it's got too much hype, like Star Wars Episode 4 or Episode 1?
I don't think. I think the hype's, it's big, but it's not Avengers big, or it's not Star Wars big.
Yeah,
I think it's the hype's reasonable for an unknown property.
Coming out on DVD this week, we've got Noah. Oh, hey, there he is.
I've been back, motherfucker. I said I was having problems with my phone. I'm still here.
If you would have not been on, I think you might have lost the streak. So you jumped in last minute. I'm very impressed.
And there's no movie review.
And there's no... Have you seen The Purge?
No, I did not see The Purge, but I've seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Or Rise of the Planet, whatever one we're on. The Monkey
Planet,
Movie.
Monkey Movie 2. Let's get our movie review then. Heavy set. Go ahead.
I think this is definitely a movie that if you see or you want to see, you need to see the first one. They don't really explain much about it. They have a few nice callbacks that I like from it, but it actually makes me want to go back and rewatch the first one. I've only seen it once. I know my girlfriend absolutely loved it, and when I was home this weekend, she wanted to go see it. I wanted to go see the Fluffy movie, but that was like 50 miles away, so I had to settle with something close. And I really enjoyed it. I kind of like what they do, but there's a part of the storyline, and I'm not going to say exactly what and where and where it's like it, but there's parts of that story that remind me of The Lion King. So if you get a chance to see it, get back to me and let me know whether you think the same thing too.
Did you get around 10?
I'm going to give it 6 or 7 out of 10. It's good, but it is kind of long. That's actually, my girlfriend fell asleep at the end.
Oh, no. All right. Thank you very much, Kebochek. You're heavy set.
Oh, on the Guardians of the Galaxy, too. I want to see this movie. It's kind of like what I feel with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't have high hopes for it, but I still want to see how everything comes together, especially this with the whole Avengers thing. I want to see how it's all going to work in and how we're going to get to next summer.
Yeah, to me, the interest is it's kind of an anti-Marvel Marvel movie, which is what really intrigues me. And yeah, it's definitely going to be a yay for me. So before we close the show, we actually have an email. This is probably the first time in, I'd say, around 30 episodes, actually. So this comes from Piper the DJ, and he writes, I have become fascinated with actors who have started on TV and gone on to movies and back again and movies and TV and back. The list is honestly limitless, so I will not bore you with my rattling off a lengthy list. In the event that you draw a blank, here's a very truncated list. Benedict Cumberbatch, Star Trek Into Darkness, and Sherlock. He also mentions Steve Austin, you know, being in WWE, and then his, numerous $2 million blockbusters, as well as Johnny Depp being in 21 Jump Street and, Pirates of the Caribbean and a bunch of other movies. And he says, and the list goes on. So my question is, who is the best and worst actors who have made the change and why? Thanks for the great shows, Piper the DJ. Piper, thank you very much for your question. And it took me a second to think about it, but I would say probably the best ones in my case would be Will Smith. I'd start with Will Smith being Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then doing a bunch of big budget blockbusters. Another recent one would be Bryan Cranston. And if you're going to wrestling, I'd say maybe The Rock. Comedy, you could say Jason Segel from Geeks and what's the show?
Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks, a bunch of rom-coms. And, I mean, if you're going 80s, I'd say Michael J. Fox would be another good one. Any other ones I haven't mentioned?
I'll throw out a couple Star Trek ones, actually.
Go for it.
Obviously, the most successful one, Patrick Stewart.
Who's that?
Exactly. So going from a really successful TV show to having a really successful movie career. So, and I'll throw a little lesser-known Star Trek one, Cole Meany, who... Eh? Chief O'Brien on Star Trek, but most people won't know who. Exactly. And if I can throw one more, you got to include George Clooney. And he was someone who he didn't have immediate success. Like, his first kind of movies didn't do great. From Dusk Till Dawn, the one with Jennifer Lopez, Out of Sight.
Yep.
But now, I mean, he's, when you think of a leading man, he's one of the first ones you think of.
Anything else? Anybody else we might have failed to mention, guys? Heavy, D-Ran?
Keeping the George Clooney thread, his co-star from The Descendants, Shailene Woodley, she came from TV, a god-awful TV show my wife watched, but it was just bad writing. And, I mean, we thought it was bad acting, but it was more of the writing that was bad on My Secret Life from The American Teenager. But she's a big movie. She's like the next It Girl. She had Divergent coming out. She had a big hit with The Fault in Our Stars. So that's someone that successfully transitioned. And obviously, we're forgetting the biggest star on the planet, JGL Joseph Gordon-Levitt, came from Third Rock from the Sun. And did a plethora of different genre movies. And I'll throw another Star Trek one out, William Shatner. He came from I guess he hasn't really done too many movies, but he had the Star Trek franchise and came from T.J. Hooker, and he did Boston Legal as well. So I think he transitioned into a couple, he had the Star Trek theatrical releases. So that's my picks.
All right, Heavy Set, any other ones we might have forgotten?
I didn't catch all of them because I dropped off because of a really bad connection spot I was standing in. But I think Bruce Willis is on the top of my list. One thing about Joseph Gordon-Levitt that I will say, to me, he got his start more with Disney than anything, because I remember him as in Angels in the Outfield before he was in Third Rock from the Sun. But I think one that people forget, I don't know if he was in movies before he was in the TV show, but Ryan Reynolds. He started on TV, and I think that was only that one role. I think it was Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. That's what it was called. And after that, like, he started getting movie roles, and now he's a big-time comic book ruiner. I mean, movie star.
I'm going to end this show with a question to you guys. Do you think moving from the big screen to the small screen is considered a demotion still in today's day and age?
No. Yeah, I think it used to be seen as one, but we're seeing more and more people do it. I mean, even like big names like Halle Berry, well, I guess kind of big now, and we're seeing the guys from True Grit and stuff like that. So I don't think it's seen as a negative as it was maybe like 15 years ago.
If you just see the quality of television shows that are coming out, like True Detective, they had Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. They're not doing like 7 seasons, but they're doing one like season of 13 or 15 episodes, and that's drawing them into TV. You see Glenn Close coming from the movie world into Damages. So you're getting these quality actors doing these roles on TV, and it's a lot of good writing is coming out on cable and even these Netflix and Amazon Hulu type shows as well.
I just realized I said True Grit instead of True Detective. Okay, sorry.
And nobody caught it.
I know.
Have you said, what do you think? Do you think it's a demotion to be brought down from the big screen to the small screen?
I think it depends on what kind of actor you are. Like, to me, the first one that came to my mind is somebody who went from TV to movies and now he's back to TV is Robin Williams. And I think he's kind of a star to where now he wants to go do TV. Okay, great. He's going to go do TV. I don't think it's a demotion because he's done so much great stuff. And it just seems like he hadn't done a movie in a while, but maybe a TV role fits him better.
Yeah. All right. Let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts. Start with Mr. Heavy Set, KFAVE Sports Radio.
Yes, KFAVE Sports Radio. We're still around, still doing things, looking for it's not Carp's little thing where we're looking for new members. Looking for new members for the KFABE Sports Radio Fantasy Football League and also for the pigskin picks that we do for NFL Easy Picks, things we've been doing for a couple years now. I got a couple people I got to invite. I really want to get into the Fantasy Football League to have a nice all-around people from the network or people that I'm friends with from the network. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Football season, real football to all you international listeners, just right around the corner, and I can't wait.
Thank you very much, Heavy Set. D-Ren, what are you plugging, the Chieftains?
I will plug the Chieftains, but I'm also plugging a sport I just recently watched, Australian rules football, which is more entertaining than NFL or CFL. But anyway, I don't want to I guess I'm stirring the pot. I will plug The Chieftain, a successful Kickstarter campaign from my brother-in-law. It's a graphic novel, and he will be hitting kind of the eastern swing of the convention tour, the Montreal Comic Con, coming up in September. He has the big Toronto one in August, and I think he's doing the Ottawa and Quebec ones. So just check it out. I think there's just a Facebook page or an Instagram as well for the Chieftains. So it's supposed to be it looks good, the artwork and everything, and the story sounds very interesting. So please check it out.
Thank you very much, D-Ren. Kebbo Trek, final thoughts?
How come he doesn't have a MySpace?
How come he doesn't have an ICQ account?
Anyway, I'm going to once again plug ellaphotography.ca. If you want a great photographer and an equally great person, check out the website. She does great work.
Thank you very much, Kebbo Trek, D-Ren, and Heavy Set. This is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about KFABE Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God!
News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.